Is it time for a mind shift? If you don't know what that means, then join your host, Dr. Clint Haycock, a former evangelical Christian pastor and Bible college teacher of over 20 years, along the journey of deconstruction and reconstruction of faith, life, religion, and spirituality.
Hey everybody, welcome to this special bonus episode of Mind Shift Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Clint Haycock, coming to you on the 8th of November 2020, just off the back of receiving news that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have been declared President and Vice President of the United States, making it clear now that Donald Trump is on his way out, at least when he concedes, if he concedes. But I wanted to take a look at this issue of when prophecy fails, cognitive dissonance, and the many failed Trump re-election prophecies. One of the things I was fascinated by in the run-up to the 2020 election was the many charismatic and sort of Seven Mountains Mandate Dominion-type crowd, people associated with the New Apostolic Reformation, the NAR-type churches, Bethel, Reading, IHOP, KC, people like that, these sort of, quote, prophets and apostles. People who predicted over and over and over that Donald Trump not only was going to win, he was going to win in a landslide even, he was going to enjoy four more years. A lot of these are the same people who predicted, supposedly prophetically, guys like Lance Wallnau and others back in 2016, that they had received miraculous prophetic visions that Trump was going to win then. And they've been basically building off that for the last 4 years, their sort of legitimacy, I guess, as prophets, that they said, we predicted Trump was going to win in 2016, we're going to win again in 2020, we're going to have four more years of God's chaos candidate and God's Cyrus candidate and all the rest of it. But now, this has proven to be a false prophecy, or has it? So what I'm fascinated by, I want to explore in this bonus episode, basically two things. One is all the many prophecies that went into predicting he was going to win. Who said it? What exactly did they say? And then the second aspect of it is, now that it's clear that he's lost and Joe Biden has won, what are they doing to justify or explain away, surely, the levels of cognitive dissonance? And for that, I'm going to be dipping into Leon Festinger's excellent book, the 1956 book, When Prophecy Fails. And as I understand it, Festinger and his associates, this was the first real actual study of what has come to be accepted as what they call cognitive dissonance, and that's a real actual condition. And Festinger and his other fellow associates were part of a study back in 56, and they wrote this book off the back of it and has become basically accepted as a real thing, cognitive dissonance. So we're going to be using Festinger's excellent book, When Prophecy Fails, which of course is where I got the title, the first half of the title of this bonus episode, because these prophecies, they failed. And so that's what I want to explore in this bonus episode. So let's get on into it. And then we're going to end by talking about, where does the Christian right go? Where does Dominion theology go in the next 4 years with Joe Biden as president? And I'll just mention really quickly before I get into this, I was doing a lot of research yesterday on the 7th of November, and I've written this out, so I'm going to have to read this because there's so much information, so bear with me, there's a lot of information here, we'll take a couple of breaks along the way, but I'm going to read you what I wrote yesterday, and there's actually more information that's coming to light. I wanted to give a quick thank you to @SierraNicole on Twitter. She's flagged up a bunch of this stuff, and her post has kind of gone viral too. I've seen there's people responding. She asked a question, how many of you know about specific Trump prophecies that did not come to pass? So there's even more information. So I'll dip into @SierraNicole's thread on Twitter as well. So let's look into When Prophecy Fails. In the now classic 1956 work on social psychology and cognitive dissonance, entitled When Prophecy Fails, a social and psychological study of a modern group that predicted the destruction of the world, authors Leon Festinger, Henry Reichen, and Stanley Schachter made the following observation, quote, "A man with a conviction is a hard man to change. Tell him you disagree and he turns away. Show him facts or figures and he questions your sources. Appeal to logic and he fails to see your point," end quote. People will protect their convictions. they argue, by, quote, managing to keep them unscathed through the most devastating attacks, end quote. But according to the authors, humans are remarkably resourceful at protecting their belief systems. However, there's more to it than that, surely. If a person believes in something wholeheartedly, is committed to the belief, and has taken irrevocable action because of it, what happens, the authors ask, when they are presented with undeniable, unequivocal evidence that their belief system is wrong? What happens then? Ironically, the authors maintain, that person will tend not to change their views and admit their error. Rather, quote, the individual will frequently emerge not only unshaken, but even more convinced of the truth of his beliefs than ever before. Indeed, he may even show a new fervor about convincing and converting other people to his view, end quote. One of the most interesting facets of the 2020 presidential election, now that it seems clear that Trump has lost and Joe Biden has won, concerns the many, quote, prophecies that were predicted by these charismatic apostles and prophets weeks or months before the election. To a person, they all confidently asserted that God had clearly revealed to them that Trump was going to win, in a landslide even, according to prophet and author Kat Kerr. In a word, these very specific prophecies that Trump would have another 4 years as president have utterly failed to come to pass. Now that Trump appears to be losing, does that mean that these so-called prophets were false prophets? According to the Bible, in the Old Testament anyway, any prophet who claimed to speak for God and then was proven to be wrong about future predictions would be publicly stoned. At the very least, stoning aside, it proves that they indeed were not, in fact, speaking the very words of a supposedly omniscient God who alone knows what the future holds. There's numerous examples of prophets who confidently predicted a Trump re-election. I'll give you some examples. Shortly before the election, on the 18th of October 2020, Trump visited the International Church of Las Vegas and received an enthusiastic welcome. There, Trump listened to various prophecies stated by senior associate pastor Denise Goulet. She claimed an oddly specific prophecy stating, quote, at 4:30, the Lord said to me, I think it must be 4:30 in the morning, but she didn't say whether it was night or day. But anyway, she said, at 4:30, the Lord said to me, I am going to give your president a second win. The Lord said he is ready for the next 4 years, end quote. Obviously, that prophecy did not come to pass. Even CBN's own Pat Robertson got in on the game, predicting that Trump would decisively win. Appearing on the 700 Club on the 18th of October 2020, Robertson stated that he had received an answer to his fervent prayers to God to reveal the winner of the upcoming election. Robertson stated on the show unequivocally, quote, first of all, I want to say without question that Trump is going to win the election, end quote. He went on to add, quote, that doesn't mean you sit home and don't vote. That means you get out and do everything you can to work, but he's going to win. That's, I think, a given, end quote. But Robertson wasn't done with his prophecies just yet. He went on to predict that God had also revealed to him a bunch of other stuff that's going to happen in the future after Trump was sworn in. He says that trouble is going to happen. Robertson claimed that Trump would be challenged by the Chinese. He'll face some kind of a war. North Korea will have nuclear weapons, will threaten the USA. There'll be additional threats from both Russia and Turkey. Beyond those dangers, Robertson went on to prophesy that there will be, quote, civic disobedience in America that will be just mind-boggling. The country will be torn apart. You talk about Trump derangement syndrome, well, it's going to be horrible, end quote. He went on to predict that there would be not one, but two attempts on Trump's life, and it will be very difficult times. He went on into full apocalyptic mode. He said that during these difficult times, after the two assassination attempts, the prophecy of the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, would also be fulfilled. Turkey and Iran, along with Muslim communities on the border of Russia, will come together against Israel and wage a tremendous war against Israel. The good news, according to Robertson, is that God would destroy their armies miraculously. So he goes on into the whole Armageddon thing. After that, there's going to be a period of tremendous peace lasting about 5 years, again, fulfilling biblical prophecies, followed by a great revival straight out of the book of Revelation, ushering in the end of our world in our day, he said. The only problem, Robertson was incorrect in his prophecy. Trump was not elected. So what does that say about Robertson's other apocalyptic visions, including he said there was going to be an asteroid strike on the Earth that ends all of life? And of course, there is so much more. I'm looking now at Sierra Nicole's thread on Twitter. Loads of people have responded to this. For example, Pastor Harry Alonzo, he said, quote, "People of God, I'm encouraging you to have faith in what's coming, which is the declared prophecy of two terms rather than what is presently happening. We are not going backwards, and God is not done with America." And he goes on to finish this thread. I think this was from Facebook. And Harry Alonzo says, "I don't know how God will bring his sudden miracle, but I do know Trump will be our president on or before January 20, 2021. Trust God and keep praying. Hashtag he is a waymaker," according to Harry Alonzo. And there's so many more. For example, there's a guy named Charlie Champ who put out a YouTube video, and he claims that he had a prophetic vision way back in December of 2016, shortly after Trump had been elected. And he claims that he saw all these amazing, wonderful things that Trump was going to do in the next 4 years. And of course, that included that he was going to be reelected in 2020. And then we've got his wife, Jessie Champ. She wrote what looks to be a Facebook post on the 24th of October, 2019. She said, quote, "I felt lead," what she means to say led. "I felt led to release this word from a vision from the Lord he gave me a month ago, which I released on Suzanne Hinn's national prayer call in August 9th. I had a vision of our president, Donald Trump. In this vision, the Lord showed me the glory of God surrounding him in a golden crown with 8 points that was upon his head. The Lord spoke to me saying, 'The crown represents the president's second term. The 8 points are the 8 years that he will reign.' The Lord then told me that he would bless his second term with financial blessing upon America with a sudden boom in the economy. This is the hour we must pray for those in authority as the Bible commands us." And she quotes 1 Timothy 2:2. So that's Jessie Champ. The list just goes on and on and on. We're talking about so many people who predicted that Trump was going to win in 2020. But of course, that has proven to be utterly false. So let's talk about post-election cognitive dissonance. What happens when prophecies fail and the disconfirming evidence results in an experience of cognitive dissonance? What exactly is it? Well, according to the book When Prophecy Fails, the definition of cognitive dissonance is as follows. Quote, "Two opinions or beliefs or items of knowledge are dissonant with each other if they do not fit together. That is, if they are inconsistent or if, considering only the particular two items, one does not follow from the other." End quote. Thus, in the wake of the many failed Trump re-election prophecies, pastor and prophet Jeremiah Johnson, leader of Jeremiah Johnson Ministries out of Charlotte, North Carolina, clearly seems to be struggling with a certain level of cognitive dissonance. Framing the situation as an either-or black-and-white scenario, Johnson wrote to his followers shortly after the election, stating, quote, "Either a lying spirit has filled the mouth of numerous trusted prophetic voices in America, or Donald J. Trump really has won the presidency, and we are witnessing a diabolical and evil plan unfold to steal the election," end quote. Thus, we can see how Johnson seeks to reduce the feeling of cognitive dissonance that he surely must be feeling. Either the prophets were incorrect and were lying, which he rejects, or there's a diabolical and evil plan to steal the election from Trump, which he should have rightly won, in his view. I wonder which side of the issue Johnson will come down on. Going back to the authors of When Prophecy Fails, they say, quote, "Dissonance produces discomfort, and correspondingly, there will arise pressures to reduce or eliminate the dissonance," end quote. And there's another aspect to this issue of cognitive dissonance. On the other hand, a person experiences what they call cognitive consonance if one belief follows on from the other and in their mind the two beliefs match up. The authors go on to state that when a person experiences cognitive dissonance, there are typically three possible responses that a person will engage in to reduce the uncomfortable feeling of dissonance. Number one, quote, "Change one or more of the beliefs, opinions, or behaviors involved in the dissonance." Number two, "Acquire new information or beliefs that will increase the existing consonance and thus cause the total dissonance to be reduced." Number three, or to forget or reduce the importance of these cognitions that are in a dissonant relationship, end quote. As we'll see, I believe that what we're witnessing now among these evangelicals and charismatic prophets aligns more closely to number two. In other words, by explaining away or justifying their false prophecies, they are acquiring new information or beliefs. In other words, further revelation that they didn't have before the election. So as it seems clear that there's a Biden victory, these prophets are busily explaining away their mistaken assertions about a sure Trump victory and reinforcing each other's claims, justifying and explaining them in highly interesting ways. Here again, the book When Prophecy Fails has something to offer us. The authors assert, quote, "The individual believer must have social support. It is unlikely that one isolated believer could withstand the kind of disconfirming evidence we have specified. If, however, the believer is a member of a group of convinced persons who can support one another, we would expect the belief to be maintained and the believers to attempt to proselyte or to persuade non-members that the belief is correct," end quote. This is exactly, I believe, the behavior we're witnessing now among the so-called prophetic community of charismatic individuals. For example, according to CBN, who did a piece on this a couple days after the election, author and prophet Kat Kerr, that I mentioned before, she's made a business out of talking about her numerous trips to heaven, written a lot of books and goes all over the country talking about it. She appeared a few days after the election on the Elijah List channel. And she informed the host of the show, Steve Schultz, that no, she hadn't been wrong when she had prophesied a landslide victory for Trump. No. What she meant was it was actually a landslide of exposing corruption that will result in Trump regaining the White House. You see, she said it's going to start small, like landslides typically do, a few small stones dislodging the larger ones, and then it gains momentum and you can't stop it. So she went on to explain her landslide prophecy. She stated, quote, "It will start with a phone call, and I can tell you, you'll be shocked to see how much exposure comes from that. But Trump will win. He will be president of the United States. He will sit in that office for four more years, and God will have his way in this country," end quote. Notice how she puts the Christian nationalist piece in there, too. There's a second example, in agreement with Kerr's position about a landslide of corruption that will be exposed. Influential evangelical leader and Dominionist Lou Engel took a similar line, that following the election, rampant voter fraud and corruption would be divinely exposed. Engel claimed that the cheats who helped steal the election from Trump and hand it over to Biden illegitimately will suffer the same fate that befell the evil Haman in the Old Testament book of Esther. He stated to CBN, he said, quote, "Expose, expose. That's what happened to Haman. A three-day Esther fast." And then a scene is brought forth where literally, Esther exposes Haman and a sudden reversal takes place, end quote. In other words, both Kerr and Engel believe that there will be an exposing of the rampant voter fraud or this rigged election that Trump has been ranting about for months. So as God and his angels step in to intervene, just like in the book of Esther, there'll be a sudden and dramatic reversal of fortunes, and Trump will be declared the rightful winner. Therefore, despite all the satanic and demonic attempts to steal the election, God's plans will ultimately be triumphant. Thus, the new information or the new revelation has been acquired to ease their cognitive dissonance and help round out the prophetic picture. And as the piece concluded on whether or not the prophets were wrong, CBN reporter Wendy Griffith concluded her reporting on these apparently false prophecies by offering up biblical proof that the prophets did not, in fact, get it wrong. Displaying no hint of irony, no cognitive dissonance, she said, quote, "In the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7, it says, 'God does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophet.'" And then she concludes by saying, "And these prophetic voices say, it ain't over." All right, let's take a short break here in our study of this issue of When Prophecies Fail. I just wanted to mention really quickly what is coming up in the next few episodes here on Mindshift Podcast. I've had some really fantastic discussions. In fact, I hope you enjoyed the episode that I just released the other day with Andrew Jasko talking about religious trauma syndrome. And in fact, I just had a really good conversation yesterday with Rebecca Drumsta, We talked about religious trauma syndrome, surviving a fundamentalist Bible cult upbringing, and so we have a lot in common. So that episode's coming out in a few weeks. I've also got a chat with Dean Crosetz of the People I Meet podcast. Again, we have a lot in common. He comes out of the charismatic background. We both played in worship bands. He's a musician like me, so we had a really good chat. We also got into this issue of some of the stuff I'm touching on in this episode because he comes out of the SOTA Seven Mountains Mandate background himself in terms of this charismatic belief system, and so he can help explain what the hell Paula White Cain was talking about with her bizarre ranting prayer, proclamation, sermon, I don't know what it was, the day after the election. So look for that episode with Dean Crosetz coming up. And then finally, speaking of really interesting conversations, I had a chat the other day with a guy named Dara Malloy. He lives out on the Aran Islands, which is off the west coast of Ireland. It's way out in the middle of absolutely nowhere. There's only 700 people that live on the island he lives on. And he used to be a Catholic priest, and he's walked away from the whole institutionalized structure of the church, and he's really gotten into Celtic Christianity. He's a Druid. He's explored the sort of ancient roots of Celtic Christianity, Celtic belief systems, and he's trying to recover some aspect of mystery and spirituality. So that's a really interesting discussion, and I'm super glad to have met Dara Malloy, and I want to go visit him now that I've heard about this place, the Aran Islands. It's absolutely fascinating. So when the lockdown ever does lift, if it ever does, maybe we can travel again. That's one of the trips that's been booked in. We'll take a trip to Ireland and visit Dara out on the Aran Islands and explore the ancient monasteries and standing stones that are still there from millennia ago. So it's absolutely fascinating chat with Dara Malloy coming up. That's the next episode that's going to drop here on Mindshift Podcast. So let's get back into the study of cognitive dissonance. I hope you're finding it interesting and helpful. We are going to continue our exploration of when prophecies fail and how these charismatic prophets and apostles are explaining away and justifying their failed prophecies that Trump would be reelected in 2020. The next piece I want to look at is this issue of claiming victory despite the evidence. Now that it seems very clear that Trump has lost the presidential election and Joe Biden has won, what are evangelicals, apostles, and prophets arguing to justify their false predictions and soothe their dashed hopes of another 4 years of Trump? What we're seeing is a wide array of responses, but one thread is very clear. They are declaring victory, dispatching angels to watch over vote counting, and still holding out hope for some sudden reversal of fortune, as Lou Engel and Kat Kerr have claimed. First of all, we have to recognize that many evangelicals firmly believe that the entire election is nothing more than a spiritual battle. Satan and his demonic hordes are actively working to steal the election from Trump, who was God's chosen man for such a time as this. What's needed to help overturn these bogus results, clearly, is some extra angelic help, even from other nations. And the most popular thread on this is, of course, prosperity preacher Paula White Cain, Donald Trump's spiritual advisor out of Florida. She heads up his Faith and Opportunity Initiative. The day after the election, White Cain delivered a bizarre, tongues-filled, ranting prayer, and I'm sure you've seen it. The video of her sermon went viral not long after Right Wing Watch spotted it and shared it on their website and on YouTube. Her bizarre rant serves as perhaps the strangest example of this theology, but it's certainly not unique. The idea of breaking spiritual strongholds, that's part of the Seven Mountains Mandate Dominion Theology movement. According to this way of thinking, believers are engaging in spiritual warfare to defeat satanic forces and demonic powers who are in charge over various cities, regions, and nations. One must break the strongholds that these demonic powers have over a geographical region or area or city in order to gain victory. Moreover, angels can assist in this endeavor, which is known as spiritual mapping. In White Cain's theology, believers have dominion over angels and must command them to do one's bidding to assist in this spiritual battle. Thus, in her sermon, which involved this extended, I guess, prayer prophetic session, White Cain revealed what's really behind the election is a demonic confederacy of dark forces working to destroy God's plan for the nation. She asserted, quote, "We break and divide every demonic confederacy against the election, against America, against that who you have declared to be in the White House," end quote. Meaning, of course, that God had declared Donald Trump would be the winner. She claimed that Trump losing the election, and particularly states like Wisconsin and Michigan, involved a demonic spiritual attack against him, echoing the Apostle Paul's statement in the New Testament book of Ephesians chapter 6 about Satan, our enemy, firing these flaming arrows at believers. This is all about spiritual warfare, putting on the whole armor of God and so forth. In her prayer, she stated that, quote, "Every arrow that has been shot against the president, against your plan," meaning God's plan, "right now we cause it to ricochet and go back to the sender right now," meaning, of course, Satan and his demonic hordes. High-level demonic networks, let them be broken, let them be torn down in the name of Jesus, end quote. What's bizarre about this, of course, is that White Cain doesn't even follow. She's not even consistent with her own theology. Going back to the Jim Baker Show, August 27th, 2017, she said at that time, quote, "They say about our president, well, he's not presidential. Thank goodness, thank goodness, thank goodness. And I mean that with all due respect, because in other words, he is not a polished politician. In other words, he is authentically, whether people like it or not, has been raised up by God." And she goes on to say, "Because God says that he raises up and places all people in places of authority. It is God that raises up a king. It is God that sets one down. And so when you fight against the plan of God, you're fighting against the hand of God," end quote. At the time, White Cain received a great deal of pushback on social media for comparing Trump to a king. But now, therefore, according to her own theology, God not only raised up Trump in 2016, he has set him down in 2020. There's no point in her fighting against the hand of God, if that's indeed the interpretation of this election. White Cain's theology, though, and that of many other charismatic dominionists, asserts that whatever happens in the heavenly realm is a mirror or pattern or model of that which will or should happen down here on earth. As God commands it in heaven, thus it shall be done on earth. This is how they interpret, for example, Jesus' statement in the Lord's Prayer, where he says, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is a pattern or a model of what life and governance on earth should be like, patterned after the heavenly example or the courts of heaven. So therefore, this type of theology, this type of thinking explains why she would claim in that same prophetic vision of heaven, she says, quote, "I hear a sound of victory," that is in heaven. "The Lord says, it is done. For I hear victory, 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 victory in the quarters of heaven, in the quarters of heaven, victory, 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 victory," end quote. Just a completely insane rant. But basically what she means is, because it's been proclaimed in heaven, it will eventually be done here on earth. So God's already proclaimed heaven as a victory in heaven, so that's going to happen here on earth. And when it comes to divine assistance to achieve this victory, White Cain believes that God has dispatched angels to help in this spiritual battle. In her sermon, she went on to claim, quote, "For angels are being released right now. Angels are being dispatched right now," end quote. After breaking into tongues, she continued on, building on the premise that just as there are territorial demons, so too are there territorial angels. She said, quote, "For angels have even been dispatched from Africa right now. They're coming here. In the name of Jesus, from South America, they're coming here. From Africa, from South America. Angelic forces, angelic reinforcement. I hear the sound of victory," end quote. And of course, interspersed and all that was a bunch of babbling tongues and so forth and ranting statements. Another example of how evangelicals are denying reality and taking refuge and engaging in spiritual warfare involves former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. She stated on the Victory Channel Wednesday, 4th of November, 2020, quote, "God has already sealed the results of this election. He has sealed it in heaven." And you see the exact same type of theology. If it's been done in heaven, eventually it's going to be ratified here on earth. She goes on to say, "Satan wants to intervene with God's plans, and he has a certain amount of authority on this earth. But we as believers have greater authority because the scripture says, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world." Now, I don't want to take too deep of a dive into this, but this is a really important point to make here. We need to take a little detour into the weeds just for a few minutes and talk about the theology of dominion theology, which is what I believe Michelle Bachmann is referring to here. Now, the way this works is as follows. those. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and 2, that's where they get their sort of starting point from. You go back to guys like R.J. Rushdoony, C. Peter Wagner, some of the early pioneers of what's called Dominion Theology, which comes out of, I believe, Christian Reconstructionism, R.J. Rushdoony, and those kind of guys. What they're talking about is God originally granted Adam and Eve dominion over the earth. That's where this comes from, Genesis 1, 26 through 28. God tells Adam and Eve in the garden that you are going to be stewards over the earth, you're going to rule over it, and you're going to have dominion. Now, in their thinking, as I say, Adam and Eve were granted dominion over the earth by God. But when they sinned in chapter 3 by eating of the forbidden fruit in the garden, what happened was they lost their dominion, and it was therefore then turned over to Satan. So they say Satan is actually the god of this world. That's what the Bible actually says. He now has dominion over the earth. And that's where we start getting into the whole spiritual warfare piece of this. And I think this is what Michelle Bachmann is talking about, because in their thinking, when Christ died on the cross, yes, that provided salvation for humanity, as they would see it, sort of classic Christian doctrine, the resurrection and all the rest of it, that's what provided a means for humanity to be saved and have their sins forgiven and everything. But in their view, it was also a legal sort of a statement whereby Jesus' death on the cross sort of made a shot across the bows, I guess you could say, and said to Satan, listen, you're on notice now. You're no longer going to be God of this world. And in fact, it's Christians who are now in the process of taking dominion in a sort of a legal sense. And I think that's what Michelle Bachmann's talking about. Satan has a certain amount of authority, and you can see in their theology, he's obviously frustrated God's plans, which makes you think, how omniscient is their God if they're claiming to serve an all-powerful, omnipresent, omniscient God? How is it that he can let Satan get away with stealing this election from the rightful candidate Donald Trump? Well, it's because Satan's the god of this world, and him and his demonic confederacy, as Paula White Cain would talk about, those are the ones who have actually frustrated God's plans. And so therefore, believers, these apostles, these prophets, now more than ever, they need to step up and they need to command these angels and do spiritual warfare and have this result overturned. So let's get on back into Michelle Bachmann's statement. She concludes her sort of prayer slash prophecy by saying, so that's why we can stand on this scripture. We can stand and say, number one, devil, you will not snatch out of God's hand what he is holding in his hand, because he is God from eternity to eternity. And the scripture goes on to say, no one can undo what I have done. And then Bachmann concludes by saying, and no one, not even the devil himself, can undo what God has already done. Father, we thank you that you have sealed this election, meaning I guess Trump has won. We thank you that you are working according to your purposes. And Father, we declare mercy over the United States, mercy in this election. And we shout, mercy, 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 mercy over this, to seal this in your name and in your love. In Jesus' name, amen. End quote. So Paula White Cain is not the only evangelical who loves to repeat and rant the same word. Another one is Prophet Kurt Landry, founder of Kurt Landry Ministries, pastor of the House of David Church out of Fairland, Oklahoma. He appeared on his YouTube channel the 5th of November, 2020. Landry apparently was taking exception to certain media outlets pointing out the fact that numerous prophecies relating to Trump's certain victory had failed to come to pass. Landry also picks up the same line about a revealing of corruption like Engel and Kerr that will take place in the coming days and weeks that will grant a rightful victory to Trump, and there'll be a sudden reversal. In a bid to echo the prophetic announcements in the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, Landry says that God had given him a prophetic word, just like Ezekiel records how God spoke to him, addressing him as the Son of Man. Landry stated that God had told him, quote, Son of Man, this is now God speaking, apparently, do you think that I am going to allow my prophets who prophesied Trump's second term and prophesied all this goodness coming to this nation to be mocked by a mass media manipulation? The Lord says, no, I shall not. For my name's sake, I shall protect my word. I shall protect my people. I shall protect my prophets from this evil destruction. For I shall pull back the veil, and I shall reveal that which is done in darkness. I guess the voter fraud. For they who shift the votes and move the boxes around, those who raise the dead and the dead vote, I will expose them, says the Lord. He concludes, for they may be tricking men, but they shall not trick me, said the Lord. And then he concludes, and the Lord says, apparently, Son of Man, prophesy unto Wisconsin that it will go red for Trump. Prophesy unto Michigan that it will go red for Trump. Prophesy unto Pennsylvania that it will go red for Trump. Prophesy unto Georgia that it goes red for Trump. Prophesy unto Nevada that it goes red for Trump. Prophesy for recounts in places where corruption is there. Prophesy that the media will cancel the assignment to call the election, end quote. Well, guess what, buddy? You are completely wrong. Most of those states that you supposedly spoke to go red for Trump actually flipped and went blue for Biden. So what does that say about Kurt Landry as a prophet? Here's another one. George Pearson's senior pastor of Eagle Mountain International Church. He's married to Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's daughter, Terry. He regularly appears on Copeland's Believer's Voice of Victory show. On the Victory Channel on the 6th of November, Pearson prophetically channeled God's pronouncement to America concerning the state of the election. Note how God, in Pearson's telling of it anyway, supports a strong vision of American Christian nationalism, allied with a clear sense of how this election is an example of spiritual warfare. God, through Pearson, allegedly said, quote, I'm not happy. I'm not happy with what you're doing to my nation. There's the Christian nationalist piece. God says, apparently, and I'm not happy about what you're doing to my man. Now he's speaking about Mr. Trump right there. He has yielded to me. He's endeavored to follow my word. And I'm not happy with this that is going on right now. And then, he goes on to say, and then, this is the second time that I've ever sensed this, but I've sensed the Lord doing this, and here he mimicked rolling up his sleeves, and he says, watch me work, watch me work. And then Pearson's continues on, he says, so this is a word from the Lord, and he's not happy with what's going on. He's not happy with some of these things that have been decided, and he's not happy with the opposite direction that he wants to go, where abortion is concerned, where the Supreme Court is concerned, where religious liberty is concerned, where Israel is concerned. And he's saying, again, he mimics rolling up his sleeves, watch me work. And he finishes by saying a prayer. Lord, we're going to see you work in this. We're going to see you work in the midst of this. And we invoke the name of Jesus and take authority over the powers and the principalities and the spirit of communism that is trying to infiltrate, overtake, and attack this nation right now. And here he gets real righteous. He says, you bow your knee to the name of the Lord Jesus. You hear the voice of the Lord through this man of God. You have no authority in this. Watch me work. End quote. Look at all the stuff that Pearson's has stuck into his prophecy. Donald Trump is a righteous man who's endeavored to follow his word. He's yielded to the Lord. Come on, that's a ludicrous, laughable assertion. In addition to Trump rightfully winning the election after all the voter fraud and corruption are supernaturally exposed, there's another aspect to the election too. Besides Donald Trump winning the presidency, they want the seats in Congress to have an overwhelming Republican majority. Terry Pearson's, wife of George Pearson's, as I said, daughter of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, in a post-election church service, prophetically commanded God to take hold of the Congress, to strip Nancy Pelosi of her position, to reduce the Democratic majority to a minority, and install a majority of righteous representation. This theology goes right along with that of people like Paula White Cain, other charismatic apostolic leaders like her, who, in addition to commanding angels to do your bidding, believers need to command God what they want him to do in faith. And he has to act on it. He has to do your bidding if you have, that is, the faith formula correct. This is the sort of word of faith type theology, part of the health and wealth prosperity gospel type of teaching. Terry Pearson's boldly claimed that despite all the evidence, there would be a miraculous retaking of the congressional majority by the Republicans. She stated in her prayer or prophecy, quote, in the name of Jesus, we take it, meaning the House, the Congress. We say, whatsoever we ask for, that's ours to ask for, that's ours to ask for, that belongs to us, so we take it. Notice the name it and claim it sort of theology. We take that House for a righteous majority, a grand majority. We take it in Jesus' name, we take it in Jesus' name, we take it in Jesus' name, end quote. Demanding a 220-seat majority, number of righteous representation, that is, Republicans, in the House, she again petitioned God to act, saying, quote, Lord, we ask for 220-seat righteous voting seats. in the name of Jesus, no less than 220 righteous voting seats. We call it in. We call it in, and you might as well start now. Might as well start now. We call them in 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 now. End quote. So you got Bachman, you got White Kane, and you've got Terry Pearson's. What's with this repetition? You keep saying it over and over and over, and somehow it makes it stronger. Was God going to hear you? So I guess God might as well start now. Start kicking those Democrats out of their seats in the House. According to Pearson's, how would this miraculous takeover by Republicans occur? Well, in the months ahead, she believes, God's going to clear the way for Democratic seats to be filled with Republicans, just like they held that God, I guess, put Ruth Bader Ginsburg to death so that Amy Coney Barrett could be put on the Supreme Court. According to Pearson, certain Democrats are going to retire. Some may even die in office. I guess maybe God's going to kill them. I don't know. In some cases, God might put so much pressure on some of the other Democrats, they're going to quit and go do something else, she says, according to her. Some might actually switch parties, become Republicans. She argues, hey, there's biblical precedence for this. The Apostle Paul, she says, although he was a murderer when he was known as Saul, when he was persecuting the Christians, he switched parties from what she says the party of the Pharisees to the party of the way, meaning Christianity. Therefore, on that basis, biblical precedence, she commands her listeners to pray for each and every Democrat in the House that they'll get saved and switch parties to become a Republican, even though she admits there may be a few Christians in there, but how can they be Christians and support pro-abortion? So that's just crazy talk by Terry Pearson's. Another example, Robert Henderson, founder of Robert Henderson Ministries, ministers out of Radiant Church in Waco, Texas. He's another prophet, an apostle. He teaches a lot on the topic of the courts of heaven. This is that same type of theology. Whatever has been decreed in the courts of heaven will also take place down here on earth. That's his basic sort of worldview theology. He's also popular over the last 4 years for promoting his four dreams about Trump, prophetic visions he's claimed to have experienced. Henderson, he's also a Seven Mountains Mandate Dominion Theology influencer. He wrote a book in 2010 called A Voice of Reformation, an apostolic and prophetic view of each of the seven mountains in a reformed state. And I did a little bit of digging into Henderson. Now, his website describes what sounds suspiciously like a theocratic kingdom vision. On the About page, it states, quote, "The teaching on the courts of heaven is one of the main elements to the discipling of nations. As the spirit realm is adjusted through legal actions based on the finished works of the cross, culture will be freed. This will result in the will of God being done on earth as in heaven." That's that theology I was talking about. God's passion, it says, is to see his kingdom come and his will be done in every sphere of society. We as his church share in this passion and are his vehicle to accomplish it, end quote. And that word sphere of society, that phrase, that's another loaded language. That's a key code word for what they mean by the mountains. That's an interchangeable word. You could say the seven mountains of society or the seven spheres of society. So that's where Henderson is coming from. So on the 5th of November 2020, he appeared alongside Lance Wallnau, Dr. Lance Wallnau, who's another major player in the Seven Mountains Mandate Dominion Theology teaching. Henderson prays this prophetic prayer to God. Now, apparently, he was agreeing with the theology of Paula White Kane on the subject of commanding God to release angels to assist in Trump's re-election. So along with his fellow prophets, Henderson is similarly unwilling to concede that Trump has lost and the angels will help in the effort to stop voter fraud. Henderson boldly claimed, he said, quote, "We just want to say that even the angels that we released, notice they released them, they were released out of D.C. this past week. Lord, we say, let those angels, let the ones assigned, go to Pennsylvania and secure that election process. Let any and every fraud attempt be exposed and uncovered. And let, Lord, I say, what I see is a boundary, Lord, like a boundary being set around Pennsylvania that will make that election be sure and complete, Lord God." And he concludes, "and that there would be no ability to steal that state away in any form or in any fashion. We thank you, Lord, for doing this." And note again, not only are they commanding the angels, they are claiming it, they're stating it, and they're saying, "We're already thanking you for answering this prayer." And he goes on to say, we release and commission and dispatch the angels into that place in Pennsylvania and in Michigan, Lord, and in all these states that have yet to be called, Father, that they would not purposely be delayed for the purpose of fraud. We break that. And there's that spiritual warfare, the breaking of strongholds. We remove that, he says, and we say the angelic powers of God oversee this. I say, Lord, he concludes, you are overseeing this election from your throne. Lord, that there is a place that you are sitting now upon the circles of the earth, and you are overseeing this election, and it will, Lord, prevail in the way that you have intended for it to be done. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. End quote. Going to take a little short break here before we finish with the conclusion of this bonus episode about when prophecy fails. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Pate Ron. Thank you, Ron, for being a supporter of Mindshift Podcast on Patreon. Your support is very appreciated. Thank you for helping me pay for some of the expenses that are associated with putting this show out. And I wanted to say, too, if you want to support the show on Patreon, the links to that, as always, are in the show notes. What do you get for being a member of this show on Patreon as a supporter? For one thing, you get early access to these episodes. They always drop on Wednesday on Patreon before they're released on Fridays to the general public. So you get the shows a few days in advance. You also get to be part of our closed Mindshift Podcast Facebook group. And it's in there that we host our monthly Mindshift Podcast Zoom calls. We do these fantastic group calls. We just had Paul Kibble drop in last month. And in fact, tonight, as I'm doing this recording, the 8th of November, we have Peter Montgomery coming in from the Right Wing Watch. And so thanks to Peter for dropping in, being a fantastic returning guest. Really looking forward to meeting up with Peter again and dissecting the results of this election, especially from a Right Wing Watch perspective. And in fact, speaking of which, I wanted to give a thank you to the Right Wing Watch for all the work that they do, because a lot of these videos that I found where these people were quote-unquote prophesying and justifying and explaining their failed prophecies were from the Right Wing Watch's YouTube channel. So I would encourage you to subscribe to that, get on their website, and help support their work. They do some absolutely amazing work, People for the American Way. So I'm really looking forward to tonight's call with Peter Montgomery. And then on the 22nd of this month, we've got Sam Perry and Andrew Whitehead. They're going to be dropping in, talking about their book, Taking America Back for God. And obviously, we'll be right in the middle of probably what are a whole spate of Trump legal suits brought against Joe Biden and the election results. So we're going to have a lot to talk about. Then in December, we've got, I hope, Frank Schaefer coming back in, maybe the first or second week of December. So I'm super excited about having Frank Schaefer come back in. I've had a lot of fantastic feedback from the episode that we did. And then in January, we're going to have Rebecca Drumsta drop in as our guest, and she'll be appearing, as I mentioned before, in a few weeks for that episode that we did talking about surviving a fundamentalist Bible cult upbringing, religious trauma syndrome, and other aspects of rebuilding your identity after you walk away from religion, fundamentalism, that kind of thing. So really great guest booked all the way through to January now. So super cool stuff coming up here on these Mindshift Zoom calls that we do every month. So let's get back into the conclusion. What are the thoughts that we have as we wrap up this episode of looking at when prophecies fail? What are these charismatic preachers, teachers, apostles saying about their failed prophecies regarding Trump's failed re-election bid? According to the authors of When Prophecy Fails, history is replete with examples of failed prophecies concerning the end of the world, Armageddon, the Antichrist appearing, and so forth. Some dedicated followers even dispose of all their worldly goods to prepare for the coming end. To date, obviously, none of these events have occurred, and yet, bizarrely, despite the convinced followers of whatever prophet claiming to have his or her revelation about the end of the world, or Armageddon, or Christ's return, or whatever it is, and the subsequent disconfirmation and cognitive dissonance they surely must have experienced, this is the irony. It did not shake their faith. It did not cause them to renounce the prophet as false. Maybe a few did, but the majority would stick with that prophet. Rather, the tendency is for them to socially support each other, double down, and actually increase their enthusiasm and activity, pouring more and more energy into producing new converts to the movement. Besides, there's always a convenient explanation as to why the promised event did not occur, why it didn't take place. Perhaps God was merely testing us to see if we were indeed ready. Maybe he's graciously allowing us more time to save a few more lost souls before the end surely comes. Or maybe, as we've seen, Satan and his demonic hordes upset the plans of God. But things are going to get back on track at some point. We're going to win. So in the case of these so-called prophets who confidently predicted a Trump landslide, Trump re-election, and have now been shown to be nothing more than frauds, fakes, and charlatans, the evidence is clear that their faith and that of their devoted followers has not been shaken in the least, despite all the disconfirming evidence. Perhaps in time, if enough disconfirming evidence may mount sufficiently, maybe some will reject their beliefs. And of course, there's another whole element to this thing, too. One thing that struck me in going through all of these quote-unquote prophecies and apostles who claim Trump is going to win, there's a huge overlap in terms of conspiracy theories. We're talking about like QAnon level sort of stuff here. And this is what Trump himself has been amplifying and what we're seeing in the days following the election on the right-wing media outlets like Fox News and Breitbart and these, and even Republicans who are refusing to admit that Trump has lost and they're still backing Trump's claims of a fraudulent election. And we're talking about sort of a deep state level of conspiracy theory. And of course, Donald Trump himself is the conspiracist in chief. And I was thinking about this when I was going through this episode the other day that, you know, these Christians claim to be all about reconciliation, forgiveness, peace, love, and this is what the Bible stands for, blah, 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 blah. Who are the ones then who are spreading misinformation, disinformation, lies? Who are the ones who are not preaching a message of reconciliation? If anything is needed right now, this country, America, I should say, needs racial reconciliation, political reconciliation along so many lines. And so why aren't they on the vanguard of preaching a message of love and hope and reconciliation and forgiveness and everything else? No, they're part of the vanguard that's out there spreading the lies and the misinformation. Of course, they don't see it as lies. They believe, they're in their deluded minds, they see this as the truth. In fact, even Paula White Cain, apparently she's still holding daily prayer services. The one I referred to in this episode was just the one after the election. But I've since found out that she's been holding them every day and going on and on in more ranting, bizarre stuff. And I've heard, too, that she's lambasting her fellow prophets for not supporting her. They're not going out there and, you know, confirming her evidence of this fraudulent election that she claims to have been divinely, it's been divinely revealed to her. And in fact, I got a message from Peter Montgomery from the Right Wing Watch the other day on Twitter, and he was showing me there was an article, a blog post on Fox News by Dr. Robert Jeffress. He's actually going out and congratulating Joe Biden on his win, admitting that Trump has lost, and preaching the message of reconciliation. And Peter Montgomery said, I wonder how long it's going to be before Paula White Cain rains down fire on Robert Jeffress. But at the end of the day, we have to remember Robert Jeffress, he is a political creature. He smelled the wind. He's put his finger up and seen the direction that things are going, and he's quickly now jumping ship and congratulating Joe Biden, one of the very few evangelicals on the right who's actually doing so. So that's very interesting. So keep an eye on this conspiracy theory type stuff coming out of not just the right wing and Trump, of course, but these quote-unquote prophets and apostles. And it's very interesting because we know this is something Chris Shelton and I talked about in our episode on QAnon a few months ago, where it's spreading like wildfire among the evangelical churches in America and indeed around the world. So keep an eye on that. That's something else to watch out for, this whole conspiracy theory stuff, which is part and parcel of their message if you actually break it down and analyze what they're saying. So let's finish up by thinking about what the next few months are going to look like. Is this shit show ever going to come to an end? Will Trump ever concede? What's the future for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and in fact, not only the nation of America, but for the world, really? One way we could look at this is to say, actually, a Biden victory actually, weirdly, bizarrely, ironically, could actually be a win for the Christian right. How so? Well, just think about it from this point of view. If Biden succeeds in battling through all the bogus legal challenges that the Trump team will surely throw at him, and indeed wins the White House and secures the presidency, this is an excellent opportunity for the Christian right, for the Dominionists to claim that the election was stolen, it was fraudulent, it was rigged, as Trump's been bleeding on about for months and months now. As we've already seen, a great number of prophets claim that there has been high-level demonic activity in helping steal the rightful election from Trump, God's chosen man for such a time as this. They can carry on for the next 4 years along this line, which will help give them an excellent enemy to vilify, help them whip up the anger, the grievance, and resentment from their followers, which is basically Trump's blindly loyal evangelical base, which again voted for him somewhere in the region of 75-81% again in 2020. So the final word goes to the authors of When Prophecy Fails. They state that when a person's central belief and accompanying ideology is of crucial importance to the believer's life, the dissonance experienced when confronted by a disconfirming event is both very strong and very painful. They state, quote, accordingly, we should expect to observe believers making determined efforts to eliminate the dissonance, or at least to reduce its magnitude. How may they accomplish this end? The dissonance would be largely eliminated if they discarded the belief that had been disconfirmed, ceased the behavior which had been initiated in preparation for the fulfillment of the prediction, and returned to a more usual existence. And they conclude by saying, but frequently, the behavioral commitment to the belief system is so strong that almost any other course of action is preferable. It may even be less painful to tolerate the dissonance than to discard the belief and admit one had been wrong. When that is the case, the dissonance cannot be eliminated by giving up the belief, end quote. And I believe that that is what we're going to see for the next 4 years of the Biden-Harris administration. They've already been saying it. If Biden wins, churches are going to be closed, that there's going to be chaos, there's going to be abortions for everyone, you know, rampant homosexuality, on and on and on. It's going to be complete chaos, the end of religious liberty. So they're already whipping up fears. And this is something that Conway and Siegelman flagged up back in 1980. That's why their book is titled Holy Terror. In other words, the Christian right found out decades ago that the best way to motivate their followers, to get them to do whatever it is they wanted them to do, whether it was vote for a candidate or get involved in the political sector, was to motivate them by fear and whip up the grievances and appeal to these sort of baser emotions. And this is what Trump has done. This is what the Christian right not only has done for decades now, but what they will do for the next 4 years. So keep an eye on that. I will try to do my best to keep you informed of what Dominionists, the Christian right, these people, these Seven Mountains Mandate people are going to be doing. Hopefully you found this episode helpful, informative, and educational as we took a look at this issue of When Prophecies Failed. Look for the episode with Dara Malloy coming out in a couple of weeks here on Mindshift Podcast. Let me know what you think, what your thoughts are of this episode or any other. You can follow me on Twitter at Mindshift2018. You can look up the Mindshift Podcast Facebook page and like that. Or as I said before, if you want to support the show on Patreon, that would be greatly appreciated. All right, I will see you again. Stay safe and take care of each other.